The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
Welcome to the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast, a rare late Thursday afternoon recording of the 8-4 podcast, the Cats Kingy.
Doesn't mean you can work any blur because it's after 5:30.
Surely if we did one after 10:30.
No.
I did get a little bit of feedback too after last week's story, Kingy, about the risque material. Do you know what? I went and visited my father in the nursing home and he can't remember what happened 14 minutes ago, but I said to him, I said, Dad, do you remember that time that the risque material was on the kitchen table? And do you know what his response was? I remember it well.
Did you follow up with where?
I was disappointed you took out some of the names of the magazines that I did have. You edited those out.
Did.
Yes. There was some very good, very reputable.
But I want to know, yes. Did you get down to the bottom of the story about where the magazines ended up? Because you said father confiscated them.
He did confiscate them. Ironically, Tom, he went a little bit fuzzy as to where they actually went.
Did you check under his bed in the nursing home?
No, they were next to his slippers. I hope not. But anyway, no, we had a bit of fun last. But I've got a good story to tell, Kingy. Hydro rang me.
How is Hydro?
Good. He's up and about, Kingy. But he rang me. I'll tell the story a little bit later. But the Cats were good, I reckon, Kingy. One of the great footy cliches is getting the job done.
Businesslike.
Yes. And do you know what are some of your favourite cliches? Under a cloud? What does that mean?
An injury cloud. the bloke walks around and there's a cloud just hovering above his head while he's got an injury.
I'm not sure what... Hang on, Kingy.
Time for a refreshment.
I've been working hard today, so I'm having a little fizzy one while we record this. But look, the Cats were good. I thought they were challenged. You got a little bit Bruce Nankervis in your seat
when Hewitt Gold
made it a goal.
Last. Yep.
Yeah, you sort of thought, oh God, this is not exactly trending how we thought. Cats kicked the last six?
Six of the last seven.
Cameron kicked four of them. Right. They dominated late. They did what they needed to do. They got through. Although, did we see Bailey Smith with a little injury late?
The hamstring, but he saw out the game. You would have thought if there was an issue, they would have just said, we're pulling this. Because by the time he did it, Geelong were probably safe. They were not going to lose the game.
The only thing, Kingy, it did look like I've done a little tweak of my hamstring motion, didn't it?
Yeah.
On the vision.
It did, yep.
It didn't look like, it was quite odd.
Yeah, but the fact that he played it out, if there was any doubt, they would have yanked
You would have thought so, yeah. Absolutely. But the motion itself, he did look like, he just grabbed that hamstring and thought, well, that's just, I've got a bit of awareness, which is never a good thing with your hamstrings, Kingy. Cats were...
They just did what they had to do.
They did. They played some good footy. Their free-flowing footy continued off the back of the win over the Bulldogs, where they scored 100. They topped 100 again. Some key players found the ball. Jeremy Cameron has come to life. Albeit, you know, I think he made reference to it after the game. He's probably beaten for three quarters.
He got a coach's vote.
Yeah, that was poor. Who's done that?
Well, I don't know.
Do you reckon the coach?
Reuben Jimby got a coach's vote.
Look, it's hard, isn't it?
Jimby did a great
job. He's won three
of
the four quarters and Cameron's kicked five.
Yep.
How do you judge that? Cameron himself said that he was beaten on the night. Look, and in fairness to him, he came good when they needed him to.
Well, he kicked the last three goals of the game.
When the game was all absolutely gone.
The game was done. He's kicked him in time on.
We did that against North in round one.
Yep.
Ooh.
North in round one.
Not North. He did that against Freo in round one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And probably Port Adelaide as well.
What else did we like about the Cats, though, Kingy? There was a little bit to like.
Yeah. Another solid effort from Reece Stanley.
Yeah, he was solid. He was solid. He actually, in the last quarter, was really good. I think his ruck work set up the goal for Dempsey. He took a mark and kicked a goal himself. His ruck work seems better this year. Am I imagining that?
Or does it look better because of the midfield?
Possibly. But he seems to be, you know, we're getting some of those tap-outs that we not normally associate with the Cats.
And finding Holmes and Smith being able to actually take off.
Get out. and they're off to the races. So I don't know whether that's just a coincidence. I'd like to know what his hit-outs are to advantage. I probably don't have that stat, but in relation to this point last year to this point this year, whether there's significantly more. But we do look like we're getting a little bit more in the ruck. And I think we've said this 1,000 times on the Kerr's High Cat Attack podcast, that he doesn't need to be, Peter Moore. He doesn't need to be Gary Dempsey. He just needs to hold his own, which is what he's doing. It's been good for the Cats. Another game into Jack Henry off the back of his little hiatus with the injury was good. Smith and Holmes, again, were enormous.
Sean Manor
was solid. Grian Myers was good.
Tyson Stengel's game up the ground was good.
Yeah, he played, probably got more of the ball than he's had all year.
Yeah, had 18 disposals.
I know some will poo-hoo it, but I thought at least the last couple of weeks we've seen very small steps in the right direction from Ollie Henry.
Yep.
Couple of goals. I mean, he certainly hasn't starred. I'm not suggesting that. But he's at least – what he's done, Kingy, and I spoke about this with a couple of players, is he's at least lifted his floor. Mm. These last two games when he's kicked a couple of goals, they were his poor games last year.
Yes.
So at least he's contributing something to the cause when he's snaffling you a couple of goals. So I've actually liked what he's been able to do. Let's hope that continues. Dangerfield back this week. Is that a definite?
I don't know whether it's a definite, but I'd be shocked if he's not, because he could have played last week based on how he moved at training last week.
So you think he'd be in for this if he's available? I mean, Geelong need to be winning. The Gold Coast are no mugs.
No.
So does that mean that Ollie Henry then has to sort of go and play a role that he perhaps isn't great at? I don't know. And Dangerfield having a couple of weeks off, does he have to play more, even more
forward,
stay at home?
Yeah, but then what does that do to Jeremy Cameron, who seems to have thrived?
So just on the score,
Jeremy Cameron's kicked half his goals basically with Dangerfield sideline.
Yeah, on the scores, what have the Cats kicked with Dangerfield out? They've topped 100 twice, haven't they? Yeah. How many times do they do it? I'm not suggesting there's a correlation between Patrick Dangerfield playing and not playing, but in terms of the Cats' scores. But
and they topped 100 when he got injured in the first quarter in Adelaide as well. So,
do you think there's anything to that?
Oh, potentially.
Do you think it opens up the roles for others who have more license, more room, or whatever else it is they need?
And they didn't become Dangerfield focused, but there was certainly the sense that a lot of ball went in his direction.
Yeah,
in the first seven or eight rounds.
And I think if you do that against a good defence, they work that out pretty quick.
Yeah.
And we saw that, and there's probably no greater example of it, was that when the great Gazuki was doing his stuff, when an absolutely counted at times, good defences would chop him off.
Yeah. And that was West Coast in 94, Carlton in 95.
Yeah. They go to Gazuki all the time, and the good defence were able to work that out. Yeah. So is Dangerfield, is he a magnet for too much footy at times? And then when he's not there, suddenly it becomes, holy hell, there's five different options here. Which way are they going? Opens up, they score more.
Yeah. You'd like Dangerfield to be seeing more ball deeper, if that makes sense, as in going to him one-on-one, where if he doesn't mark it, at least the ball comes to ground rather than him being it spoiled away or losing it just inside forward 50, and then that becomes a shallow entry, and and you get hit on the rebound then if you're not set up behind the footy.
You just don't get – I just don't think you get enough opportunities for that to play that role in modern footy. You don't get too many one-on-ones deep. You'll get the
odds. Do you want to start him deep, though? Because when the Cats do...
I would have thought you want him deep. A, he's more effective because he gets more time to rest. B, it allows others who are used to playing in the forward line more to play up the ground and play their role.
And he doesn't have a massive defensive bent game. So if you're dragging somebody deep, if he's playing high and he's not working hard enough defensively, then the player he's playing on can become very damaging.
Yes, I agree. It's a really interesting one. I'm not suggesting in any way, shape or form Geelong are playing without Patrick Dangerfield. No. I'm just saying that it is interesting that without him there, we think, oh, Patrick Dangerfield's out. Well, the scores would tell you that Geelong are more than able to cope with Patrick Dangerfield being out. Yeah. And you could argue, just on pure numbers, that they are potentially even more effective when he's not playing in the forward line. Now, he's going to be there, so I'm not suggesting he shouldn't be, but he's also the beauty of Patrick Dangerfield is you can put him into the middle if you need a little burst or a little momentum shifter. He's a you know, he's still there to be able to do that. And there's probably no one else on the list who's capable of doing that. If Holmes or Smith were having slightly down days and you need a lift, you have a forward line that can cover Patrick Dangerfield not being in it, but you have a midfield that may need him for 4 or 5 minutes. And it may be that he plays a quarter in the midfield where he's off a lot. He's only on the ground for 15 minutes of the quarter. You know, say, let's say three sort of 5 minute bursts and he's off for the other five, but that might be enough to rest the momentum in the midfield back in your way.
And especially too, if you can get him to a few centre bounces as well.
Yeah.
If you can get him there.
Get him bursting out. If Stanley's ruck work is good and Smith handball to Dangerfield exploding out. Although I'd rather it the other way round because...
Yeah, Dangerfield Paddy actually... Dangerfield bullocking in, finding the footy...
Giving it to Holmes or Smith. Because they're better kicks than Dangerfield.
Or even Atkins.
Yeah.
Because Atkins is... We did a media op with Atkins yesterday and I commented, I said, you seem to be moving better, getting away from... stoppage, is that something to do with strengthening the new strength and conditioning team or anything like that? Typical Tom Atkins. Oh, no, I'm still the slowest in there.
Yeah.
But you would have to say Tom Atkins has found half a yard this year.
We had double figure tackles again on the weekend.
Yeah.
In a game that didn't really lend itself to tackling.
No.
Look, he does seem a little bit more nimble. He's around the ball more.
Yep.
He's influencing the game more.
Yep.
He's influencing the flow of the game.
Hence why he got a two-year contract extension.
Yeah, I think, and he's probably not going to admit it. I wonder whether he did do anything different in the preseason in terms of his fitness or worked on anything in particular that he thought. Because I've said this heaps of times, but he has got players snapping at his heels. Closey is one.
Yep.
Now, he's a young player. He may go out for Saturday's game, but he's slowly rising through the ranks.
Yep.
And he plays the same role as Tom Atkins.
Here's a question. Well, I suppose selection answers the question, but has Ted Closey gone past Jai Clark?
Jeez. That's like, at this stage, Kingy, now I'm not putting shit on either of them, but that'd be a bit like saying two hurdlers have gone past each other in a 1400 metre race.
Yep.
They're both...
And that's not, I reckon that's not track and field hurdlers, that's horse flesh.
Horse hurdlers. Yeah. They're both... miles away from it, I think. Yeah, look, I don't know.
Who's further away?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's Bone Crusher versus Air Waverly Star at the minute. They're neck and neck at those two at the minute. I don't know. I think the jury is certainly out on. I mean, what number was Closey taken?
He was a rookie pick.
Yeah. So okay. So we, Jai Clark was top 10. That's not good because I just don't see the traits he has as top 10.
I think you'll find Ted Closey was a Cat B rookie.
The old category B.
Yeah, NGA.
Is that many rook? NGA, do you have to do a course at the Gordon to work out what's happening in football these days? And there's points with the draft and if, you know, yarn.
Yeah, that's a applied physics.
Do you think there should be a 3-week course at the Gordon?
Applied physics is harder.
Yeah.
It's not as hard as working out the draft system.
Japanese algebra is easier than that, isn't it?
It is.
Do you think if they offered a course in football management at the Gordon, a 3-week course?
I'd do it.
Yeah, I'd probably try and go along too.
Not far from your joint.
And you'll have to wear your kit.
Just on Tommy Atkins too,
yeah.
He will be front and square at Drew Oval on Sunday for the 10-year 2015 St Joey's Premiership reunion.
Oh, will he?
Yep.
He'll
be up there.
Well, that'll be a good day.
Yeah. Yeah, he says he. Well, I asked him about it in the media conference about getting up there on Sunday, and he said that is still one of my favourite weekends of my life.
The reunion?
No.
Oh, the
winning the flag in 2015.
Yeah. Well, I was E19.
Yeah, he was. Yep.
Yeah. I remember that day, Kingy. Except we came from behind, wasn't it?
Nah, Joey's came from 5 goals down early in the third.
Yeah.
To beat Newtown.
Yep.
And Dale Carson. Got moved from...
He kicked five.
Yeah, he got moved from full back to full forward.
The other great one was when we beat St Mary, overran St Mary's.
Yes.
Was it Brian Haint?
Yep.
He went bananas in the last quarter.
He did, yep. And Ben Capra playing as an undersized ruckman.
And Big Joey
McCullough.
The McCullough.
Anyway, we're probably talking about... We've gone on to some Joeys around here. Let's move back to the Cats. Plenty of questions, Benny.
Yeah, I absolutely love questions.
All right, this is off the KFC X. Troy, how
many X's?
One.
Have you been into an establishment that has three X's above the
how
door?
How many games does Bailey need to play before I'm allowed to call him my favourite cat? Bailey, doubleheader of Brown, Lowe and Norm, sure sounds great.
Yeah, look, he's I was talking about this with someone, Kingy, and I was referencing that, but there isn't a Brownlow element that Bailey Smith really doesn't have covered, does he?
No.
He's got the hair.
Yep.
He's got the Mr. Miyagi headband.
Yep.
He's got the little dirty sort of porn mushtaka, which always catches your eye, doesn't it?
It does. Right.
That'll attract at least two votes.
Yes.
And that could be critical in the run of the wire. Yeah. He's got the olive skin.
Do you know what else catches my eye?
What?
Short people with umbrellas.
Yes, that's it.
Gary Delaney.
Yeah. So he's got every element of, there isn't one element he doesn't have covered, is there? No. In terms of attracting Brownlow votes.
Correct.
So do you think he'd be leading the Brownlow?
Yeah, they're about.
He's the favourite. He's the current favourite.
Yeah. Doesn't mean you're leading it.
He'd be leading the best and fairest.
Yes.
He'd be leading the Brownlow.
Yep.
I reckon he'd be leading the Brownlow.
He's leading Norm Smith voting right now too.
Yes. Look, he has been unbelievable. I worked yesterday, went up to Sandown with a Bulldog supporter who sort of still scratching his head a little bit in terms of, I said, was Bailey Smith ever this good for the Bulldogs? And he said 21.
Yeah, he was good in 21.
Yeah.
Well, it was a bit off Broadway because that was another COVID-impacted year where a lot of the footy was played out of Victoria.
Yep.
Second half, especially the finals.
Yep.
And I think it just people forgot.
Do you think, okay, we're playing him in, I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel here, but if we had another couple of players in the midfield, do you think he could be even more damaging as a goal kicker if he played on a wing?
Yeah, but I think his best footy's in the right in the heat
of
the
battle. Yeah, I think you're probably right, but his ability to run is extraordinary. If you had Dempsey on one wing
and Smith on the other.
Wow.
Yeah. But you're finding that with Blitzars. When Blitzars plays on a wing, he's actually sneaking forward and becoming a marking target.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
And kicking goals.
They're all playing well, the Cats.
Yeah. Randomness. Do you reckon SDK needs a few weeks in the twos? Has leaked so many goals this year, it's getting ridiculous now. He has been caught out at times, but I think the times he's been caught out is when Geelong have turned it over and Geelong haven't reset. The Bulldogs game, case in point. There was a couple of times there where he was...
Well, if you'd had Bruce Dool down there, it wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah.
I think Geelong are playing a game that is lending itself to scoring. If you do that, you are going to open yourself up to getting scored the other way. But Geelong are happy to play that game, and they're doing it quite successfully. So, yeah, has he leaked a few goals? Yes. Is the way Geelong are playing and the openness with which they are playing? I mean, even West Coast, who had, won one game, they were racing the ball into their forward line at times pretty well. So I think the way Geelong are playing isn't a Ross Lyon bloody, let's shut everything down and make it 7-8. Geelong are happy to win 18-15.
Bit of the blighty approach.
Well, probably not quite to that level, but I think there's a little bit about that. They're happy to attack. And, yeah, okay, he's leaking a few goals. I reckon he's actually been pretty solid. I don't understand the seemingly we need Sam DeConing out of the team. I'm not buying that for 1 second.
And it's not happening. No. Marky Mark the Lamp on that. Geelong has the 6th worst defensive profile, 3rd easiest team to score against. This will lose us finals. How can we fix this? Surely it's not just injuries. Geelong will find a way to tighten things up.
But that generally happens in finals anyway.
Yeah.
Look, I'm happy with the way Geelong are playing. I think they're an attractive team to watch.
They are.
I've turned on a couple of weeks and watched St Kilda for a little bit.
And turned it off.
It's unwatchable. Yeah.
St Kilda were playing in my backyard, I'd close the blinds.
Oh, it's shocking. It's absolutely shocking. Yeah, okay, do we leak goals? Yes, occasionally. Do you want to go and watch us? Yes. Are we still beating good teams by playing an attacking approach? Yes. I don't know. I don't think there's too much to knock. I mean, yeah. What did we score against? How many points did the Cats score against Hawthorn and Collingwood?
Right. Against Collingwood, it was, let me have a quick look here.
Was it 91?
90.
90, yeah. That's good going against Collingwood.
And 86 against Hawthorn.
Yeah, well, Hawthorn were going better then than they are now.
Yep.
That's pretty good going. What's their lowest score for the year?
The Cats.
Yeah.
I suspect it's probably the St Kilda game.
Yeah, the St Kilda game. That's diabolical.
Let me have a look. Oh, no, 61 against Brisbane.
That was wet.
Actually, yeah. So 91. It was 91 against St Kilda.
Is that their next lowest? The 86 against
Hawthorn.
How many times have they topped 100?
4 or 5. Let me have a quick look. Please, old caller. Just bringing up. AFL tables is just a gift that keeps on giving. So for the year, their scores. So it's 6 times plus 100. Lowest score is 61. The next lowest was the 76 in the loss to Carlton.
And where are they in terms of points for on the ladder?
That's really hard to dictate because you've got teams who have played less games.
Yeah, it's all a bit, a bit over the show.
Yeah, you would be looking at average points.
Well, I'm for one think that they're playing a brand that makes you want to go. It makes you want to turn the TV on, and it's is it take you on and live by the sword, die by the sword, potentially?
So Geelong have kicked the second most goals for the year.
Yep.
Only to Adelaide, 187. Geelong kicked 180. And the overall score.
I think you can pick holes in, you know. The other side of the coin is if you're winning 78 to 62, then you start saying, you know, can we score enough against the good teams?
Yep.
So it's hard to keep everybody happy. But I'm happy to go and watch Geelong, I know that.
Loch Ness has suffered a bed spasm. That is Mick Howley. Talking about Loch Ness.
What's happened now, King?
Toby Conway's joining us pre-game on Saturday.
We can ask him about the setup in the farter.
Who is the next captain?
We can ask what happened in the farter. If he could take us through it blow by blow.
Who is the next cat today?
Is there any chance? So we're going to have a sighting of him.
Here we are.
That's extraordinary.
Yes. Who's the next cat today, Boo?
Let me guess, he's been in match sim.
Been doing some match sim. Yeah, he did some last week.
Seems to be doing that. He's been doing that for weeks.
Who's the next cat today, Boo, Benny?
The next cat?
Yeah, it's George Stevens.
Yeah, I would have thought.
Yep.
Do you think it could be Saturday?
Yeah, I just don't know who comes
out. It's going to be wet.
Yeah, it is.
Do you think that would suit Big George?
Potentially.
Yeah. Do you think they might think it's a good opportunity to put Big George in?
By the time you're listening to this, the team will be out because we're recording this at 5 o'clock on...
Yes, post Thursday the Geelong races.
So, yes. Do you have any winners?
No, we had a third and a fourth.
Quite one for Wild Racing.
A third, two fourths.
Okay. Frakey, which is Simon Quinn, hoping to acknowledge Oisin Mullen's work. The broadcasters are addicted to close-ups, so it's hard to see, but his aggression towards the opposition and body work around around defensive stoppages are well worth looking for. If all players had equal lift in their games, we'd be Neville Bartos flying.
Yeah, I'm happy to say I'm still not convinced about Oisin Mullen. Can he tag... Yeah, maybe. Does he still look very hesitant with ball in hand? Yes. Does he second-guess himself when he's got the ball in hand? Yes. Can he turn the ball over horribly when he's seemingly clear? Yes, he did it on Sunday night.
Yep.
I'm just not convinced that Oisin Mullen is... They're going to keep playing him, but I'm not convinced that he's an answer in your best 22.
Damien Tedesco, King in Cass.
Mr. Tedesco.
Great call again, especially having K-Rock in sync with the TV. Is this the best patch of footy? O'Connor is playing. It was one of those games we just needed to get the 4 points.
Yeah.
Does the skipper come back this weekend? Mark O'Connor is in.
He's in career best.
Yep.
And I haven't been a fan of... Well, I haven't necessarily known where he's fitted in. I've questioned where he fits in. He seems to have found a home in defence. Mm. He's playing with confidence. He's marking the ball. He's getting involved. And I think, Kingy, this might sound stupid, but I'm happy for him to have the ball in the back half. Hate it when he gets the ball forward to centre and is delivering it inside forward 50 because he cocks it up. Mm. But when in the back half, he's sure-handed, he's strong, he's got good size, he seems to make pretty good decisions, and his skill level is okay coming out of the back half. Kicking it inside 450 is a completely different kettle of fish where he seems to get it wrong. So he's been really good for the Cats this year.
Him, Gorlami, Suns will be frothing to get us this weekend. We'll be cold and wet, which should help us. Should Ted get a full game for his contested work? So do you go Closey?
Well, they'll weigh that up. Do you think that they're thinking, it's wet, Closey, or do you think that they may think George Stevens has earned a crack?
Yep. And has played some games in the wet recently, Port Melbourne.
Oh, I saw that game. That was like animals were... pairing up.
Him, Atkins, Smith will all need to get dirty to combat the Suns' mids. Stengel hitting leads at full pace and marking is a sight to see.
Yeah, he's a good player, Tyson Stengel, and he's been pretty good. How many goals did he kick this year, Kingy?
Only the 13 or 14.
That's not too bad.
Yeah. But off pace from where he was.
Yeah, he's probably not. Yeah, but he's been good. He's the sort of player that you hope can, in big games, can turn it in your way, in your favour. I've sort of liked what he's been able to do. Myers was good on against the West Coast Eagles.
The creativity.
Close was good again. He's starting to sort of seemingly find his feet a little bit because you said he should have been out of the team about a month ago.
I did not.
You said he should have been banished.
They were not my words. Max Blake.
You said that he...
Ben?
That he should have...
No.
You did.
No. Max Blake, who's the best dual cat son of all time? Gary Jr., Josh Caddy, Charlie Constable, George Hall and Smith, Jack Bowes, Nathan Ablett, Matt Rowell. Bit of humour there.
Sorry, someone just ran me. Can you figure that out?
Who's the best dual cat son of all time? Mm. Gary Jr., Josh Caddy, Charlie Constable, George Hall and Smith, Jack Bowes, Nathan Ablett, Matt Rowell.
Matt Rowell, hopefully.
Yeah. No Zach Smith.
No.
No mention.
No.
Unfortunate. All right, let's go to the Big Footy. Gents, a few
George
questions.
George Burberry.
Fox Dog, no.
Do you remember Big Georgie?
He didn't go to the Suns, did he?
No, I'm joking. No. I just saw a highlight of him on YouTube the other day. It was George Burberry in the 43.
Yes, and then he went to the 31.
Yeah, and I believe his parents may have had a reasonable amount of Bugs Bunny in the old...
Yes.
In the old tickety tank.
Yeah, not short of a dollar. Fox Dog 50, I'm a big fan of Brad Close, but I'm not sure why people aren't talking about his form. I don't think he's been up to his usual standards.
Oh, I just pumped him up. I thought he was pretty good on the weekend. Has he had some down games? Yes. Does he play in a position that lends itself to down games? Yes. Will we like to see a little bit more from him? Yes. Would we like to see a bit more consistency? Yes. Is he in our best 22? Certainly. I don't know. I think some players play in positions where you aren't going to be Bailey Smith and Max Holmes, where you can just pin them on possessions probably and say he's had a good or bad day. If you're playing predominantly in the midfield, Max Holmes, and you're touching the ball 14 times, you've had a bad day. Brad Close, Myers is probably a little bit different. Close and Stengel, Ollie Henry is another one. They play in a position where it's not all, every week is not going to be a free-flowing affair where they get an opportunity. So this weekend, if it's tight and tough, you know, if they can get seven or eight possessions each and maybe chime in with say, four goals between the three of them, it goes a long way to help winning the game.
Rhys Stanley's been very good and reliable this year. Was it Geelong? True, Geelong asked him to play in 2025 rather than him deciding to play. That I'm not aware of. I know I'm sure he was keen to go on.
Who's that?
Rhys Stanley.
Yeah, look, we heard that he wants to go next year. Yeah. Didn't you say that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He
never wants to stop playing.
No. No. He's happy to run around in the VFL next year if it means helping the young blokes.
If it means getting a little bit of chaff into the...
Yeah, if you're getting a couple.
What's he going to do? Like pop on that tie with the plastic thing around it and head down to Coles and stock the shelves?
Any updates on players from other clubs coming to Geelong next year? No. I haven't got anything fresh.
They're still trying to get... are they still interested in Harley Reid and Butters?
The Butters one's gone a little bit quiet. The Reid one, I think, will play out at some stage soon. So I don't know. They're not alone there.
I haven't heard any others.
Yeah. And I'm not a fan at all of Geelong's club song, Bring Back the One We've Had for Years. Now, that's personal opinion. I actually like the Stand Up and Fight second verse.
Yeah,
but that's probably the least of my worries in life.
If it starts influencing the win and loss, I'll worry about it.
Khan Cat has found myself giggling like a schoolgirl to Benny's story about magazines last week. Top shelf audio. Can we please have some more Benny Cat stories? Kingy, surely you can just whack the old beep over any blue bits.
Well, Kingy, you just edited out a funny thing that I'd said before, which you seemed a great hilarity, but you're going to take it out of this podcast. So I don't know that I've got a few funny stories. Yeah. I don't know if they'll get through the keeper.
We don't have time today. Paddy Retchko and Big Pikey did well in the twos. What can you tell us, Kingy? How are they tracking? Paddy Retchko's got a really good tank.
Great name.
Yeah, it is a great name. They will persist with him. And Pike, young ruckman, rookie, he'll get another opportunity next year. But those two...
Let me guess, they're injured.
No, both playing.
Oh.
No, they've actually been two of the younger brigade that have played regular VFL footy this year. So guys like Mattify Forbes.
Is that his full name?
Yeah, Keaton Mattify Forbes.
Keaton Mattify Forbes.
Yeah. You like that?
Goodness me.
Guys like him, Lenny Hoffman, like, haven't played.
We've got Keaton Mattify Forbes and Lenny Hoffman. Yeah. Oh, God. No, we need... We're going down the wrong path.
Need some Garys and Brits.
We need a Dwayne. We need a Shane.
Howl at 41. Gentlemen. You'd have to be happy with the way the Cats are tracking. 8 wins, 4 losses, with the biggest loss 18 points and well and truly in all these games in the last quarter. Do you think the Cats can win the flag? Well, yeah, we certainly
do. You'd hope so.
Yeah.
I was talking to somebody at Aking at the races who doesn't break for the Cats, and they were unequivocal in that Geelong will finish top.
Yeah, wow.
I said, really? Yeah. And he said, yep.
He thinks, Howler 41 thinks they can, but it does require the male model, Reece Stanley, continuing his form. It would also need finding more depth in the midfield. Could a Nevitt, Stevens, even Guthrie offer something different? That's Cam. Also needs Tom Stewart getting back to his best. Thanks. I'm off to flick through some magazines.
Oh, good luck. Hopefully there's someone's. Oh, I had Kingy. Do you remember what one of them was called?
I don't care, Benny. Dudas Maximus, now that Killian Burke is to play his first VFL match, what can Cat fans look forward to? The question was parked previously for Zach Tui, but he hasn't been on the podcast since. I don't know a lot about Killian Burke.
No.
So the
any relation to Damien?
No, it's spelled differently. No O.
All right.
Yeah, B-U-R-K-E.
So Burke's backyard. In relation to Don?
Maybe. I don't know. Daz Broncos, great call last week. We made it through, but hard yards getting there. Have to say, a previous employee of a news agent in my early youth in the mid-80s, I can confirm the mechanisms and merchandise Benny referred to last week. Can also confirm the popularity and profit derived from said processes. Warehousing was an issue, and third-party parental poaching and seizing of goods a common risk.
Very good, Daz. I had a lot of fun back in the day.
Moving on with the Dash Brothers putting up 1,600 metres game between them. For those who don't know, the Dash Brothers are Holmes and Smith. Yep. How long before a hard tag comes to one of them, and whom of Baz or Max is likely to be able to work through it?
Probably, it's difficult to tag blokes who have got good speed. It's much easier to tag a more dour type ball winner. Yeah, no doubt it'll come, I would have thought. They're not going to let Bailey Smith, one of the two, I suppose. They're not going to let them just rack up 30 each week. When they're doing that, Geelong are very hard to beat. When you have got good leg speed, though, I mean, Holmes is, his explosion is, you know, I wouldn't say unrivaled, but there's not many that could go with him. And you've got to think of the type of player who does the tagging. They're generally not, you know, they're not your electric, fast, twitch, fibre type players. They're generally your plodders to a degree who can just caravan around with someone. Well, you're not going to be able to do that with Smith and Holmes because they've got too much leg speed.
Yep.
So, I mean, we were – the Cats, some will say then, well, Mullen's quick. He's quick. So that's one player. If you name me some other taggers, I mean, I'm trying to think of something. The tagging's really sort of gone out of the game to a degree. It happens every now and then, but it's not a regular thing. But there's no tagger who's going to win the grand final sprint.
No.
So they're hard to tag, those guys. You could, I mean, I think
if you've got that leg speed, you're not tagging.
No. And I think if, that's right. And I think if you, let's say somebody like an Ollie Dempsey is probably easier to tag. Yep. The thing that would make him difficult to tag is his engine because he runs like a frightened farmer. But in terms of the way he plays, you probably can shut him down.
Yep.
Because he doesn't have electric speed. He relies on an enormous tank and he's got a bit of flair. But you could look to shut him down because he's that sort of player. But I don't know. I think it'd be really interesting to see a test case because somebody will try, I would have thought. And it wouldn't surprise me if it's this week against the Suns.
Also, Closey needs a full AFL game. This is the week. We'll need maximum effort to contain the Gold Coast mids, and Ted will bring that, in my opinion. Is this the week for George of the Jungle? We need to see if he has the goods up the top. That's Aussie Sparky, so George Stevens. Sorry, but Wiltshire doesn't look up to it.
Ollie Wiltshire?
Yeah.
Well, we had Mark Corrigan on after the game, the Twos game, and we suggested that Ollie Wiltshire may have been injured because he only had one handball. He said, no, he was fine. Yeah. He played the game out.
He had three tackles and one handball.
That's hard to do.
Yeah.
And he played AFL.
Yeah.
He's gone backwards in a couple of weeks, Ollie.
And Cats. Are we potentially hindering Closey's development by using him as a sub every week? I understand the logic if it's a late in the season or during finals, if he's our 23rd best player and executing the role well. But at this stage of the year, it feels like a missed opportunity to give him a full game experience and continue building his development.
I don't think you're curtailing his development. Is he a second year player? Can you third year player? I don't think you're curtailing his development. Any experience he's getting at senior level, albeit it's minimal, is good. You know, he's feeling part of it. I don't think in the long run across a career being the sub, it may hinder his short term, I suppose. I mean, I don't know. He may be fitter than a Melly Bull. He may have a huge running tank. You know, all those sorts of things. We don't really know. But I don't think it's going to hinder him to any great degree. It's only going to benefit him the more minutes he can get. at an AFL level. I mean, let's put it this way. I think he'd prefer to be playing 25 minutes in the seniors. I think that probably serves him better in terms of his development than three quarters in the twos.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for all your questions, everybody. Benny, time for Hydro's Heroes, but you've got a little story. Hydro story.
I spoke to Hydro. He rang me during the week, Kingy, and he has sort of tentacles, not testicles, Kingy, tentacles all over the place.
He does.
And he told me a story that, he's Hydro's Heroes, okay?
Yep.
Devotee, they listen every week. Matt and Nick, they have seats in the hickey stand. They mentioned a Hydro's son-in-law, James. Matt and James work together in Cremorne in Melbourne, that they love the Cat Attack podcast, okay? Cool. So these boys, they also have Hydro's Heroes up on the whiteboard at work.
Do they?
Yes.
Cool.
And they're putting the final team together. Good. So what they want to happen, Kingy, is so Hydro's suggesting that once we finish... You've just turned me off.
Man, I've turned you back
obviously
on.
Boring.
No. I've turned mine on and off to.
Kingy just
my
pressed
mic.
A button and I went off.
Right, go on.
I need one of them at home.
What's your?
So once we finish the 1-46, okay, yeah. They're suggesting now that the fun begins. So what's going to happen is there's going to be a team of evens, which will be coached by you,
right? And a team of odds,
yeah, which Hydro thinks is apt for me. Because I'm slightly odd.
Yeah.
So just quickly, Kingy, we won't go right into it today,
yeah.
But I will get the two Gazookies.
You will?
Yes. Yeah. You will get...
I'll get Andrew Mackey.
No, I'll get Andrew Mackey. Oh, he wore four, sorry. I was thinking seven. I think he was drafted seven.
No,
you'll get the skipper.
I will get the skipper.
You'll get the 14. I'll get Mickey Turner, though.
You'll get Bartel.
And Peter Riccardi.
Yep.
So it's going to be an absolute humdinger, Kingy, when that final team goes comes to fruition.
I get Chappie. No, you get Chappie.
I get Chappie.
Oh no.
Yeah. And I also get James Kelly.
I get Ben Graham.
Yeah, you'll get Tyson Stengel. Would he be our best 18?
Kent Kingsley.
Oh, King.
I've
that's
got
right,
Kent.
Kent Kingsley.
4-time leading goal kicker.
You'll get Jono.
I do get
Stevie J.
I'm looking forward to this.
Yes. Yeah, so anyway, we're going to be coaching those teams, Kingy.
There's today's
going to be
numbers?
There's going to be some great – well, Hydro didn't actually send me any numbers, Kingy, so I don't think we've got numbers for
– we'll leave it till next week then.
Oh, hang on. This week's numbers, Kingy.
Right.
We've got three.
Name them.
12. I'll have to open up my spreadsheet.
12. I've got a winner already. It's Brad Scholl and Brad Scholl alone.
12, 25, and 46.
Right, okay.
So I'll just have to go to my... So Brad Scholl was... He was a lovely fella, Brad Scholl. He was the most knockabout bloke you'll ever meet. And he also... I remember going to his house to interview him when I was at Inside Football. And he was just a real knockabout fella. He also... Do you remember the famous time where the Cats... were getting lambasted in the media for not having enough sort of zest about their game.
Yeah.
And he kicked a goal and did a cartwheel in the pocket. That was extraordinary scenes.
He's the 12 because he's the only player in that 50-year capture of 75 to 25 who actually played more than 100 games in the 12.
Spiro Malakalis.
Yeah, Spiro only played 67 games.
Did Tony take on Tony Lockett once, his brother Tony?
While playing for...
Yes, Sydney.
While playing for Sydney. The only other player that was of note in the 12 was Mark Brown.
Yes.
In the late 70s.
He's listed.
Yep.
Trent West, obviously, has just made a comeback to footy at Terang.
Yes.
At age 37.
Yeah, and that's it.
So we've got to go Brad Scholl there.
It's Brad
Scholl. And how many games did Brad Scholl play?
169.
He was a very good footballer, Brad Scholl.
Yep.
Tough as teak. Didn't have any teeth.
Well, he played those 169 games in 8 years. He averaged 21 games a year.
And he was super consistent.
And he was done at 29.
Yeah. He was super consistent out of the back pocket.
Yeah.
The old back pocket.
So we're going to... Are we doing 46?
25, King.
Or we're going to do 46 because it's a lay-down Mazaire.
Well, there's probably only one to talk of there, isn't there?
Yes.
So 46 is Mark Blitzarps.
Yeah.
And it's an unbelievable career that's notching up 300 games soon.
Because nobody else... So the number's actually only been worn by five players in games for Geelong, and they actually have...
In
senior games.
Did Darren Forsman wear it once?
He might have been early in his career, but the players who played predominantly in it, Blitz, 281 games, Marcus Baldwin,
yep, from Hawthorn.
Kicked five.
Came from Hawthorn, big blonde-headed fella.
Yeah, Joffy Simkin.
Might have got into a bit of... Did he get in a bit of trouble?
I don't know. Joffy Simkin, four. Gary Johns played a couple of games in 84, and Paul Lindsay played two games.
Gary Johns?
Yep.
Was he like Ronnie Johns? Any relation?
No. And he was Gary.
Hello?
He was Gary.
It's your Uncle Chopper.
He was Gary with two R's.
Was he?
Yes.
Oh, Gaz with two R's.
Darren Forsman.
Do you remember Ronnie Johns when he used to do Chopper Reed?
Yes, I do. Darren.
Hello?
You are right, Benny. Darren Forsman played five games in the 46.
Yeah.
The last five rounds of 1990 when Geelong had a poo year. Everybody thought Geelong, this will be our year.
And we
pushed Hawthorn to within a goal, and they sold memberships like they were going out of fashion, and Geelong were absolutely shizing.
They were shizing.
So congratulations, Mark Blitzarves. You'll be in the evens team.
Yes, so were your team, Kingy. And I've got, I'm going to have one of these two in the 25, Jeff Ainsworth or Lockie Henderson.
Well, no, you won't. Jeff Ainsworth is pre-75.
Right, so I won't have him. So I've got Lockie Henderson. Who else wore 25?
Jacko? If Jacko wins that if he plays the 50 games.
Yeah, he was a good player, Jacko.
Jacko
all
averaged,
his histrionics, he was actually quite a good
he
player.
He averaged the best part of four goals a game in a forward line that contained Gary Ablett.
Yeah. While he was also doing handstands and cartwheels, and he was an unbelievably good set shot for goal.
A beautiful kick.
Yeah, he hardly missed.
Yep.
How many games did he play for the Cats?
31.
How many goals did he kick?
115.
Shit, that's good going.
Yep.
Five a game. Four
just
a game.
Just under four.
That's good going.
Yep.
Really good going.
Yep.
And then he got in the face of Kelvin Moore that day. That wasn't with the Cats.
So he kicked 74 goals in 84.
He was a very good player.
33 from 10 games in 85. He obviously copped the suspension after the Hawthorn Lee Matthews game. He played the first two rounds of 86. He kicked six, and then he kicked two, and John Devine was jack of him. And
just moving on. He got sick of the sideshow, didn't he?
Yeah.
But he was, if you're just going pure football, he's actually a very accomplished
player.
It
would have been really interesting if Jacko had have been around long enough for Blighty.
Yeah.
And Blighty would have. How he treated
Gaz.
Yeah.
The Gazooki.
Yeah, the great Gazooki. So 25 has to be...
Well, Lockie Henderson.
Yeah.
God, I've got him in my team, Kingy. Do you think I could make him my Medi sub? He went to college too, which makes it even worse.
God. That's a bit harsh.
Yeah.
So was there nobody else?
No.
Was that it? Jared Rivers didn't play...
Jason Snellwolf, 25.
Did Jared Rivers...
Did he work 25 and then go to 4?
Not sure.
He was a good player, Jason Snell.
How many games did Jared Rivers play? Not enough.
Not many.
44, fell just short.
What about, can you find Jason Snell there? Was he in 25? Or did I imagine that?
Nah, I thought he wore...
He wore 4, but I thought he might have started in 25.
Let me have a quick look.
I'm trying to, we didn't have many 25s. Who have we got 25 at the moment? Rechko.
No, Rechko I think is 27.
Who's 25? We don't even have one.
Might be Hoffman.
Lenny.
No, Hoffman's 23.
Yeah. So we don't know. 25's been an absolute graveyard number for the Cats.
It's been a horrible number.
Jeez.
Let's have a look at Jason Snell, who obviously suffered that horrific injury.
He was trending to be a very good player. Yep. Very good player.
He wore number 4.
Yeah, he finished in 5. I thought he wore something else to start with.
He wore 25, Benny.
There you go.
Played it in 13 games.
Yeah, he was. How many games did Jason Snell play?
He ended up playing 68.
Now he had that horrendous ankle injury, which he tried to come back from. But I reckon he played really well in that 97 when we was robbed game
against Adelaide.
Yeah,
yeah, 17 disposals and kicked a goal.
Yeah, he was good. That was when he was on the...
Took 10 marks.
Yeah, that's when he was on the... And taking 10 marks back then was taking 10 marks.
Yeah.
It wasn't just kicking it sideways all the time. He was unfortunately one of the many cut down by injury, but had real talent, Jason Snell.
He was probably that era's Dan Menzel.
Yeah, he wasn't going to be that good. Dan was going to be elite.
Yeah.
I think Snell was trending to be a very good player.
Yep.
Not an elite player, but he was on the move. So hopefully the Cats can find a way, Kingy, on... It's a big game, 9-4. If they get to 9-4, who they got after that?
Bombers at the MCG.
When's that?
Saturday twilight,
okay. Well, look, it's a really big one for the Cats. They've worked their way into position to really push on now, and home games against a side that's coming off a loss that they wouldn't have expected, they will be throwing everything at the Cats. It'll be a great little test. Does Bailey Smith stay in the team? Be interesting to see whether that's the... I mean, I'm sure he'll be named, but does he actually run out there on Saturday? Because I'm positive he had a very minor tweak of that hamstring.
The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, locally owned and operated for over 40 years.